Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
It is amazing, amazing, amazing what we've been walking through together as a congregation. But to be able to see your faces together like this is an amazing joy for our hearts this morning. So go ahead, you guys be seated. We have a lot of ground to cover today, and we're just glad to be here.
You're looking great. You're looking great. You're feeling great. Yes, yes. And thank you so much for being here in person. We want to say thank you for those that are online too. Hey, we've been in your shoes over the last 8 weeks. Yes. Seeing it online. And you know what? I want to say thank you to our team. Our technology team has been on top of it.
Come on, you guys. Let's share the love a little bit
together. Give it up for our tech team. They're the ones that have been making it amazing. In fact, how about our band, y'all? And our worship team.
Amen.
Give it up for them. They're amazing. They've been amazing. And we also want to say thank you to our amazing staff, pastors, and team. Have y'all enjoyed the messages?
Yes, it's been phenomenal.
I'm telling you, over the last 8 weeks, I was like, hey, we could even take a few more. These guys are doing amazing work. How many of you could leave your job if you were self-employed or whatever and know 8 weeks and everything's going to be taken care of?
No, we have a fantastic staff.
It's very
fantastic
rare. Yes,
team.
We have a fantastic team. And so we're going to pray. And today is just kind of a family day, right?
Absolutely. We're just going to spend the majority. We're going to share some things that we've been through in this 8 weeks. I want to share some things that God's been sharing with us about what the season is about we're in, and then a little bit about what's coming. And so it's going to be a great time, but it's basically just a big family day. So let's open our hearts and hands to the Lord in prayer, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. Father, in this context, meeting together as a great church family, we're asking by the work of the Holy Spirit that You would move into the flow of the next 30 minutes and cause our hearts to be connected with You in ways that fill our spirits with joy and hope and life and faith and power and strength and all the things that come from who You are. We give You praise for it. We thank You that we get to do life together as a congregation, both here in person today and those that are streaming the services offline today. We're asking God that You would cause our spirits to be connected as a great big family. We just celebrate You today in Your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's put our hands together and give the Lord thanks. Amen. Band, you guys are so great, but I'm going to go ahead and release you guys and appreciate it's so awesome to be able to be right here and look right there and do that. So thank you, Aaron and the band. It's awesome today.
Wow. Well, this is like a family. Let's come to the family table together. Although I think we see some new faces that may have joined LifeLink since we've been gone, and we want to just introduce ourselves. We're Pastor Dave and Cherie, and welcome to the living room of LifeLink. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we're glad that you're here. Let's just give a welcome to all of those that may be visiting today.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys here today. We clap a lot at LifeLink because we're a pretty happy church, so.
Yes, we clap a lot, we sing a lot, and we do everything very loud. And we still have our earplugs if you need that back in the back. And so, but Pastor Dave, why don't we just share a little bit about sabbatical, you know, some people had a different view of sabbatical. It was so funny. We are very connected to the city pastors. I don't know if I'm blaring everybody. I'm back.
Hey, you have a little bit of lipstick on your teeth.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to fix that. The mask kind of, yeah.
It's real.
Anyway, but we're connected to the city pastors of the city. We have deep relationships and friends. And one of our city pastor friends gave us a call and said, hey, Pastor David Tree, okay, hey. In our culture, in our church, when people go on sabbatical, it means something else.
specifically said, usually it's a moral failure.
It's a moral failure.
So in case you're from that tradition, there was no moral failure.
There was nothing wrong
so
for us to take.
Don't read anything between the lines. It really was a strategic time away to recharge and refresh.
Yes.
And allow the Holy Spirit to bring some new context of what we're experiencing as a family.
Yes.
And as a church ministry. So it was
so
awesome.
So Pastor Dave and I, you know, we started this church in 2006, and we have not had any real sabbatical. In fact, it was unheard of. We're both from ministers' families, and we just have never done that. And we learned a lot of what a sabbatical is and what a Sabbath is. And so the first week, we just kind of went to the beach. That's what you do when you want to take some time off, right? And so we just went, and actually, we just didn't do a lot of talking, which Pastor Dave was glad of that.
Well, I'll talk a little bit.
It was really more of just looking at the water and just resting, and it was so enjoyable. We were able to listen to an amazing audiobook called Take the Day Off by Dr. Robert Morris, who actually really poured into our lives of what the biblical background is to Sabbath and to sabbatical. And so that really ministered to us. And so we were sitting there just really reflecting, and the scriptures of he leads us beside those still waters and restores our soul. That is exactly what happened to us. We came back, and it's like, what do you do with all this time? It took us a little bit to actually unplug, because it's like we should be doing something. How many of you have ever felt guilty for not working? You know, you're like, I know I'm supposed to rest, but, right? And that's what the Holy Spirit was really trying to minister to us is chill, Dave and Dre, chill out and rest and get restored. And so guess what we did? We came back and cleaned out our garage.
Because that's how you refresh.
The reason why is because if you've known us and if you've been in our journey, the garage at our house was the storage area when we started the church. And so the church actually, you know, if you go through Growth Track, step two, you'll find out all about LifeLink and the story. And we had a lot of events over the 14, 15 years that we've been here. And we've lived in this particular house since 2004.
Yep.
And there's just so much stuff. Well, Pastor Dave's personality is a little bit different from mine. I am the creative and the sentimental, hence a crowded garage. Okay, lots of stuff, and oh my goodness, my daughter's shoes when she was 3 months old. Do you know what I'm saying? I was telling the people online the other night, I still have the girl who just led worship is our daughter. I still have her baby teeth.
We're not sure whether we should admit that or not. That's kind of a little bit creepy in a way.
Well, I may need to have a deliverance service.
Well, I don't know, but.
So anyway, things like that. And so Pastor Dave is like,
we should just run a quick survey. How many of you feel like that's holding on too long? All right.
Okay. I need you, Jesus. Yes. So anyway, Pastor Dave and I, it took us 3 weeks to clean out our garage.
Well, in all fairness, we've lived together. We've been married for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And we've moved several times, and we ran across boxes that were from our first season together that had never been unpacked and processed since the first time we moved in the 90s. And then you get this gift, and then this tchotchke, and this remembrance, and this, you know, experience, and this, and it just kind of piles up. And after a while, you just kind of process stuff.
We're just being vulnerable because we're in front of family. And so we had to figure out how we're going to clean this. So we went through every box, every paper, every Christmas ornament, every bin, and we just got rid of stuff and got things in order. And the Holy Spirit was even ministering to us through the whole time that this is part of resting, because you're getting rid of stuff that you've hung on to, whether it's good, whether it's just, you know, unnecessary. We are cleaning out for new season.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, it's a new season. We are cleaning out the old for God to bring in the new. And so if we have a 3-car garage and somebody said, do you have your cars in it now? And we said, of course not. Because Pastor Cherie's still creative. And so 1/3 of the garage is my creative space, and it looks very cute. And then we have our storage space. And then Pastor Dave's side has nothing in it.
Well, in all fairness, it has 2 bicycles and a motorcycle.
And they're parked behind blue lines that are taped to measured under the symmetrical thing.
Well, you might be talking a little bit too much now. I don't know.
Everybody's clapping because they love that. And guess what? I come home one day because I'm exhausted, and it's emotionally exhausting when you're giving things away, if you've ever done that. I am determined to not watch those hoarder shows. Too much similarities. I'm kidding. And so I come home one day, and I see Pastor Dave, and he is painting the garage. Painting it, the whole garage. And I was like, what are you doing? It's just a garage. He says, no, it's a new season. And he began to paint fresh paint and those marks and chips and all of that. He painted the garage door, no marks. He really gets into things, and he's very good with his hands. And he just made it fresh and new. So we would stand in the garage and just stand there and feel so organized and so in order. And so that was part of our sabbatical, and it was peace. People said, what are you doing? And we said, you wouldn't understand, but this is a part of who we are. But then we were able to go to on a family trip to visit my mother-in-law, Joy, in Syracuse, New York, and she's probably watching right now.
Hey, Graham.
Hey, Graham. Some of you may have heard, because she's everybody knows her, that she got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it was a shock to all of us as a family. And actually, in this time, our family has been in a grieving state. And if you, which our whole, first of all, you have COVID, you've got in and out of church, wearing masks, our whole world's been upside down. And then you find that some of your loved ones has been diagnosed, or you've even lost loved ones. Many in the room here has had that struggle. And so, but this really hit us hard, and all of our family. And it did something deep, deep inside of me that I actually said, okay, during this time, y'all may not know some of our story. Both of our fathers have passed away. His was in 1985. Mine was 2005. And 2005, my father passed away after a long illness of 5 years. And then we started the church 3 months later. And so since we've started the church, we've never had a sabbatical. We've barely had vacations. And that's not bragging. That is repenting. That's what we did. We repented unto the Lord and said, we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have sinned, Jesus. But since that time, so when my mother-in-law got this news, it really hit something inside of me. And I said, you know what? I know my God, and I'm in my secret place, and I am in my word, and I know his presence. And he uses coaches in our lives to help us walk through these things. And so we did what we even tell our congregation to do. When you need help, let's get it. So
yeah, so we live our lives like we model with our life the things that we share about how life is supposed to be lived. In other words, even though we serve you guys in the context of leadership, we actually serve under leaders who have real authority and influence in our lives. And so for the last several years, our leaders have been coaching us to prepare for and to take at the sabbatical, which we finally did. But even during the sabbatical, we sat down with some family coach and counselor, yeah, and said, hey, here, we're in a new season. Help us think through what this season is like. And
we're grieving. We're going through. We just want to make sure we're processing,
yep,
in a healthy way. And it brought so much rest to our soul and peace to our soul. And God is so amazing in the times when you just give everything to him, you know? And it's amazing that his healing power actually comes.
Yep.
So it brought us rest. It brought us rest.
We had a chance to go to New York and spend a few days as a family, my brother and his family, and then Sheree and I and Pastor Lacey. all went together and spent a wonderful time with my mom.
And laughed a lot.
On her birthday. We laughed a lot. We cried a lot. We prayed together. It was awesome. Then we came back from that experience, and then we began to shift gears and lean into what is coming next.
Yeah.
So we had a couple of weeks to start working on some projects we're doing in our home. That is culminating in next week. Our house is getting painted inside, which is kind of a fun thing. So we've been preparing for that. But we spent the last week allowing the Holy Spirit to just breathe vision and context back into our spirit. And so we wanted to just share with you some things the Lord has brought into our awareness through this experience together. And so instead of just coming back and just preaching a big message of sorts, we wanted to spend time together as a family and really just connect and share with you some of the things that God has done in our hearts in the journey of the last several weeks. One of the things the Lord really brought into a clear focus was what he said at the very beginning of the year, which Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, was the admonition to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And so the Lord reminded us in this time away that he gave that to us at the beginning of this year. And in an almost naive way, we were kind of excited about it. Like, woo-hoo, God's going to do something great. We'll acknowledge him. He's going to direct our paths this year. It's going to be fantastic. And all the things that goes with that. And as we were working our way through that, didn't realize that God was saying, hey, in hindsight, was basically telling us, the world's going to rock and roll for a while, but I want you to trust me because I'm going to do something in the middle of it. And I don't want you to depend on your natural analytical tools and assessment abilities that I've given you in the mental faculties you work with. Don't just depend on that and figure out the angles. I'm gonna really admonish you to bring me into the day-to-day leadership function of your lives and really trust me.
Yes.
Because I'm gonna call some plays that won't make sense to your natural mind, but if you'll acknowledge me in the decisions that you make and really follow where I'm taking you, I'll actually direct your paths. And he's basically saying, if you trust me as a shepherd, I'll lead you as a shepherd. And if you ever have read through Psalm 23, which I think we're going to talk about in just a moment, but the context of Psalm 23 is comforting to us in so many ways. But the only way that Psalm 23 is Psalm 23 in our experience is if we actually let him lead us as our shepherd.
Yeah.
If we don't, it's just a nice Sunday school verse, and there's nothing to it. But experientially, if we do that. So he said, in this journey, I want you to trust me because I want you to learn how to live from a rested place.
Yes, yes.
I want you to learn how to enter into a position and a posture of rest. And rest is not the cessation of labor. Rest in your soul is not a cessation of labor. It's a position of trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you to let me connect this dot with you real quick just for a second. God is saying, I want you to trust me. And when we trust the Lord with our whole heart, we're taking the circumstances of our lives and the outcomes and putting those in his hand, which means then we can rest in the grip of his sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed us that this is really, really important. There's some practical directions to this, and let me just kind of connect the dots. So in the Old Testament, we see in the Ten Commandments that there is a pattern where the Lord said, I modeled something to you in the creation experience of the first 6 days. I did everything, and on the seventh day, I rested. And then we know in the Ten Commandments that one of the commandments is the commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. In other words, the context is, you know, do it all in six, but on the seventh, I want you to actually have a rested lifestyle. I want you to breathe. I want you to trust me. You don't have to do it all. In fact, you can't do it all. In fact, really, we can't do most of it. We just do a little bit. And then God says, I want you to rest. And not just sit there on your couch and do nothing. It's a posture in our soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust. And then he connected this dot in Hebrews 4 and says, that there is a rest for my people, and it's contextualized in the Sabbath context, but he says, only people who trust me can enter into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to remind us as a church family that entering into that rest is not simply taking the day off. That's a practical application, but really it deals with addressing the anxieties of our soul. And it comes really from truly trusting God. So I want to just kind of stop just for a moment and talk about that while we were coming out of a season, an eight-week season of sabbatical, which is an extended time of rest where the Lord can take the cessation of the practical load that you carry. And in the season where he's lifted that load, he can speak to our lives about what's coming up. One of the big things he shared with us is I want my people to learn how to live in a rested place in their soul. So we're going to talk about that over the next several weeks, because if we're looking at what the enemy's doing around us all about, he's taking advantage of the anxieties of our soul to wreak havoc in the lives of so many people. And if we're not rested in our soul, if we don't rest in our trusted relationship with God, then we really, it seems as if we live our lives at the whim of tactics that darkness throws at us to keep us off-centered and unbalanced and filled with anxiety and tensions and griefs and all the things that go like that. So physical rest from labor is part of it, but that's not the whole thing. God's saying, I want you to enter into that season of rest.
And it's easy for us to say that. Yeah, let's just, you need some rest. You need to take the time off. But even with the time off, how many of you know your mind can spin and spin and you can't go to sleep? You got to have the TV, or you got to have the melatonin. You got to have something to make you go down, and then you have to have something to keep you up, you know? And it's just the continued state of going and going, or in worry and anxiety. And that's what we repented of the Lord to the Lord from, is, God, we haven't. That we've said we've trusted you, but we've let things still take our mind. And take our attention, I should say. And many are in this room saying, but Pastor Reed, there's some major stuff going on. And we know that, and so does God. I mean, the boat has really been rocking. The storm has really been a storm of terror, a storm of uncertainty, a disturbance has been in our world. And so how, Pastor Cherie, can you stay at a state of peace? And this is all that I can even say, is we can't do it in our own natural mind. It is only by the supernatural presence of our God. But what we can do so that we can let God do what he's going to do is take the time. So we talk about it in our daily walk with the Lord. It's every day we have that time with him to get us ready, whether it's soaping or devotions or a time that's just a time of prayer. On Sundays, you're connecting with the body, whether it's online or it's here in person. Many of you are involved in our life groups, which is connecting and learning and growing. But I encourage you to take a day of rest and do nothing like that would keep you spin up, but do something that fills you. That's his presence of joy. And guess what? God moves on the golf course. Oh, my goodness.
I've heard that. I rarely experienced that, but I've heard he does. Now, we have some people here who find him there on a regular basis.
I feel the presence of the Lord that just had a surge right there. He moves on motorcycle rides.
Yeah, now, I found him there a lot.
He moves in the mountains when you're hiking. He moves when you're painting a painting. He moves when you're just putting on worship and praise. Whatever, the things that fill your soul, things that fill you, that God's created you, enjoy those times. We have to make time for that. He moves at the ocean, hallelujah. He moves in those times. And when you, it's like putting on that oxygen mask and letting his presence just wash in you. You come charged up. He moves when your personality needs that time alone and your wife has the different personality and you come back home and God has moved when the wife has not been around.
I don't know what you're saying right now. I can't figure it out. It feels right, but I can't understand.
I'm saying knowing each other, giving each other space. God moves in those times. And so today, we want to minister to you because we know that there's been heaviness. We know that there's been uncertainty. We've experienced loss together. We've experienced just the ups and downs of our country, but we're here to tell you that Jesus is asleep in the boat. And even though the storm is here, he's saying, peace be still, and it's okay. But he wants us to know that he's our healer. He is here to set us free. He is continuing to give us hope and to give us joy in the midst of sorrow. And so I just want us to bow our heads for just a moment.
Let me just add some context to what you're saying.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So when she's talking about Jesus being asleep in the boat, that's a snapshot of what we actually see as a historical account in the New Testament. The point was Jesus was in the boat, and he was in a place of work, of rest. He was not unsettled by the storms all around. Mm-hmm. When the disciples actually, in a terrified context, reach out to connect with him and say, don't you care that we're about to drown? He said, oh, hang on a second, let me just fix this. And he fixed it. Mm-hmm. But the issue was he was in their boat.
Yes.
In a position, a place of rest. So our Father, our Heavenly Father, does not live a life filled with anxiety.
That's right.
He's sovereign.
Yes.
In his kingdom, we have access to a life that's not defined by terror and anxiety and lack and loss. We may experience loss. We may experience grief. But even in the context of grief, the Bible is clear to say that we don't grieve like those with no hope. We actually grieve with hope because of who God is in our boat. And so as we're working our way into this season that I believe God is opening up for us as a congregation, we actually did not want to just roll in here, just crank a bunch of vision out with everyone, because the first thing he said, he's basically saying to us is, I want my church to learn how to connect in a healed position of rest in their soul.
Yes, yes.
Because we're strong in that context.
Yes. So I'm going to ask James to come out and join us on the guitar this morning. And we're just going to invite the presence of the Lord to just rest in our presence right here. And right there online, if you would just close your eyes, wherever you are, kind of quiet, maybe the atmosphere where you're at, and let's just take a few moments and invite him here to rest, for us to rest in his presence, and for him to just rest in our hearts. We don't have to work it up, but let's just close our eyes right now. Father, we thank you that you're with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God, your presence is moving right here. And God, that you are refreshing our soul, that you're renewing our mind, that God, you are bringing hope to many that are feeling hopeless right now.
Yes.
As we've walked through the dark valleys, Lord, you said that you would be with us. And so, God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. We believe you, Lord. We believe you. Believe your word. Just open your heart right here.
Thank you, Lord.
Just open your heart. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire, and you heal all my disease. I trust in you.
Yes, God.
I trust. My healer,
You're my healer, and I believe that you are all I need. Yes, you are.
Oh, you are.
Oh, yes, you are. And I believe you are, that you're my portion. I believe you're more than. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, nothing, sing it, church. See, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible.
Come on, let the reality of that connect to your heart.
Nothing is impossible. You hold my world in your hand.
Come on, just open your heart and sing that.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. 'Cause you hold my. I believe, yeah, that you're my healer, yeah. And I believe you,
thank
are
you,
all I need.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes,
we
God.
Believe it, Lord. Oh,
I'll declare that today. I believe.
And I believe you are. You're my portion. I believe. You're more than enough for me, Jesus.
You're all.
Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, sing it again. Jesus, you're all I need. One more time, tell him today. Jesus, you're all I need.
Father, it's true today, God. Thank you for the power of the revelation of that song. You're our healer. You're our portion. There is no lack when we follow you, because you said in your word in Psalm 23 that you are our shepherd. And as we follow you and trusted in a trusted relationship, that we don't live a life defined by lack. Everything we need in this new season, you promised through your kingdom to make available in our lives. So we declare, as you said in the beginning of this year, that we trust you with all of our hearts. We don't lean to our own understanding, but we follow you. We acknowledge you in all of our ways, allowing you to trust in a trusted way, God, to lead us, guide us, establish our steps, God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. There's a couple of things I just really feel impressed to share with you. As we were talking earlier about really the commandment in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions, they're actual commandments. And that rested day is really a physical expression of really a posture he wants us to have in our heart. And I'm so excited about this, because I feel like one of the reasons why God is emphasizing that again is because if we look at the chaos of what's going on in the world all around us, just the culture of our nation, the conversations in social media, if you look at what the themes are, most of them are actually threaded almost through vitriol into the design of agitating the souls of people. And you can just see darkness working through every angle and every layer to fragment relationships, to tear us apart from each other, to all the things by the distorting circumstances or causing suspicions or any number of things that if our natural mind, we just look at analysis and we start putting all the things together like this, we may fall right into the trap of living in an agitated lifestyle. And in that context, we have far less conviction and far less power than when we actually live in that rested place where we just trust God and say, God, I see the headlines, I see the social media post, but I know who you are, and I know how you work, and I know what you're doing in my life, and I trust you with my life. I trust you with our household.
Yes.
And in stark contrast with what we see all around us, the Holy Spirit says, I've called the church to be salt and light. I've called the church to live in the power of being together, not in the distorted antagonism of being torn apart.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I believe God's going to walk through our church through over the next several weeks and months, probably years, will be characterized by supernatural expression of unity in our church family, in our relationships, where we actually know one another. But because we live in the kingdom of God together, we're in unity together. I was thinking today about what we see in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read this to you. It says a final word in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of it, in his mighty power. Verse 11, a lot of us are familiar with this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. God is saying, I'm going to show you how to do this so you can actually stand against the strategies of darkness. Then he reminds us, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. In other words, we're not really contesting against each other. We're not contesting against specifically contexts of identities with each other. But really, the struggle is against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. In other words, he's saying, I want you to know, everybody, that there are spiritual forces actually using strategies to work destruction in the lives of people. But most people don't acknowledge it. Most people are not aware of it. Most people don't actually learn how to let the Holy Spirit put them in a position to stand against them. So they always live at the whim, it seems like, of darkness. So darkness wants to run a play to destroy the peace in your home, and he'll just throw a little something in it, and the whole home just goes up like an incendiary bomb just went off. And for days or weeks, there's no peace in that home. And the Holy Spirit says, that's a tactic of darkness. You don't have to do that.
That's right.
Darkness can fracture relationships that have taken decades of time to form. And in the single span of a social media post, cause people to say, I thought I knew you. And the suspicions start fracturing people apart. And God said, my kingdom is stronger than that.
That's right. Amen.
My power is bigger than that. And if you'll let me lead you, I'll show you how to live this in the power of unity. So one of the tactics darkness is using, and it's so blatant now, it's obvious to everyone. Just look at the headlines. Six headlines is all you need. Really two or three. But just read a couple of social media posts. That's all you need. And you don't see peace anywhere. What do you see? Terror, antagonism, destruction, all those things. And God said, that's not my kingdom.
That's right.
It's not who I am. It's not how I work. And you don't have to live the results of that. You can live in my kingdom.
Amen.
In a position of rested trust in who
that's
I am.
Right.
You don't have to let your soul be driven about by terror and anxiety and suspicion and fear and lack and loss.
Amen.
God says, I want my people to learn how to live in the power of my kingdom. I love this. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. And then after that, you'll be standing firm.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, God didn't say, hey, I want you to just walk into that turbulent situation and just get blown around. By the end of it, don't worry, you'll be a mess. That's not what God's saying. He says, the storm that you're in, I'm going to actually calm in the soul first. You're going to learn how to do this in a way that models a supernatural expression of my kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, in the next few weeks, we're starting a series called United We Stand, Divided We Fall. United we stand, divided we fall. Because God's love actually conquers all. Everything darkness throws at every one of us, God's love conquers it. If we stand united. I want you to listen to two scriptures. One in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He said, if you facilitate division in a nation, if you facilitate division in a city, if you facilitate division in a household, if you let yourselves be divided against yourselves, you will fall.
That's right.
You know, Jesus is God, which means he tells truth. So there's something he's trying to tell us. United, we stand. Divided, we fall. I want you to listen to one of the benefits, and then we're going to wrap this up in just kind of a flow of ministry. But Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 says this. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in, what's the word? Unity.
Does that mean we agree with everything?
We don't even have to see things the same way. It's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual thing we decide together. We decide that unity is more important than being right. Unity is more important than getting my way. Unity is more important. He said, it's like precious oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard. That doesn't mean a lot to most people, but in the original context, that's a powerful thing. Down on the collar of his robe, it's like the dew of Hermon falling on the, and where the dew is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. I know this is a lot of biblical terms that really don't mean a lot to most people right now, but really, this is a rich context, but it ultimately culminates in this. For there, the context of unity, the Lord bestows his blessing. In other words, when people decide unity is more important than my way, unity is more important than my outcome, than my feelings, than my anything else, which is what we can get to if we'll go back to the very beginning where we trust him with all of our heart and don't lean on our thoughts or our feelings, but really let him guide us together, then we'll do that.
So what does that look like, Pastor Dave, practically in this day and age when social media has been a platform for many to stand for righteousness, to stand for injustice, and to make sure that the right things are said. Give us some practical with the word that you just said, where God wants to see us in unity, does that mean we just get off and just sit back and whatever happens, I love with the love of the Lord? Or do we stand?
That's the whole series.
Oh, sorry. You got to come back. But for today.
The context today, you guys, honestly. the Lord gave us a real approach to the congregation coming out of this sabbatical. I have some things I do want to share with you. But they're heavy, they're weighty, they're significant, and they're thinky, which means I can't just throw them at you in 15 seconds and wrap up the service today. What we can do is let the Lord lead us. And the first thing he said is, I'm going to lead you to a place where I'm going to ask you to trust me first. So that you'll learn how to live from a rested place in your soul. Because none of what we were talking about a moment ago can happen just in our natural thinking.
That's right.
It happens as a fruit of a trusted relationship with God. And so we're going to actually talk a lot about that over the next few weeks.
What I have found in this season, as you can tell, my personality is one of those where I jump out before I think, and which has gotten me into some amazing situations. And that's why my husband that's why we're together. But my relationship with God, what he is saying, is deepened. So where I tend to want to react, we need to respond. And I learned many, many years ago, you don't reason with darkness. Darkness is flowing all over social media. Darkness is flowing all over the news, the media, all of these things. And if you are trying to debate and say this, I got to convince them, the best way to do that is on your knees in prayer. And it's basically saying, declaring and decreeing who our God is. And then saying, Father, show me where I need to change. Instead of do something to them, show me, Holy Spirit, my heart, and make sure, God, that I'm aligned according to your word. I repent of my thoughts. I repent of my brassiness, or I repent of my unlovingness or judgmental or criticalness. But God, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. And then you go fight with everything that's within you in darkness, to darkness. And that means you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and know his word and begin to declare and decree who God is. You lift up your worship. What we did here this morning is change the atmosphere around us. It changes our thinking. It changes the place in our home. And that's where battles are won.
Yeah.
And then you watch. All of a sudden, the internet, I wouldn't doubt if something would be, you know, a big thing would happen and the internet doesn't work anymore. I don't know. You watch. See, when you don't know what to do, you go into the presence of God and say, I don't know what to do, but I know who you are and I know who you've created me to be. And I give this to you, God, and I will praise you because you are working to where my natural eyes cannot see. And so, Lord, you show me what I need to do and let me be a conduit of life and someone who brings unity and peace to the table.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, that was a good word.
That was a good word. So the bottom line is for today, God's saying, trust me, I'm not shocked by anything. I saw it all coming. I've made provision. I need you to follow what I'm doing so I can use the yes in your heart to let you become the model, the salt and light I've called you to be. Amen. So for today, I'm going to ask you to do that. Then I want to actually make some declarations and decrees today. In fact, we actually wrote some out. So can we just stand this morning? God's going to do something great. This is a good season, you guys. The enemy is working overtime to make us think that the end is imminent and it's all going to be horrible. Look at me in the eyes. God doesn't lead people into horrible. God leads people into extraordinary displays of his awesome sovereign kingdom.
Yes.
God is the answer. He has the answer and will actually bring it through our lives.
I don't want
you to buy the lie that the end is near and it's all horrible. God knows exactly what he's doing. We may rock and roll and all those things, but the kingdom of God still is filled with light, filled with power, filled with truth, filled with peace, filled with love, filled with joy, filled with all of those things.
Yes.
So I want us to actually step into that place today where we're ready to believe that God can do the impossible.
Amen,
you know what? Because God is the God of the impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Sheree, why don't you lead us in some of these declarations?
So we're decreeing and declaring. That means we're at a place and we know who we are. We are the children of God and that he has given us authority on this earth. Look at somebody and say, we have authority in Christ.
We have the authority in Christ.
So we're going to decree with authority and declare who God is. And some of these are going to be personal. So if you're not ready to say these things and to commit things unto the Lord, then that's where you can stop. But I encourage you to commit today to say these things. So let's just say this together. Say, I decree. No weapon formed against us will prosper.
No weapon formed against us will prosper.
Darkness will not prevail over our land.
Darkness will not prevail over our land.
Satan is defeated. And there is peace in our country in Jesus' name.
There is peace coming to our country in Jesus' name.
I declare that Jesus is Lord over America.
I declare that Jesus is Lord over America.
His word is truth.
His word is truth.
And brings life. The atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is changing.
In my life.
In my home. In my world. And in this city. The Phoenix Valley is God's territory.
God's territory.
The Phoenix Valley.
The Phoenix Valley
is my home.
Is my home.
So I will protect.
So I will protect.
In the spirit.
In the spirit.
I will walk.
I will walk.
As a warrior.
As a warrior.
Of praise.
Of praise.
And gratitude.
And gratitude.
And thanksgiving.
And thanksgiving.
I will worship.
I will worship.
My God.
My God.
Who is Lord.
Who is Lord.
Of the Phoenix Valley.
Of the Phoenix Valley.
I commit.
I commit.
To follow.
To follow.
The ways of Christ.
The ways of Christ.
I will demonstrate.
I will demonstrate.
God's love.
God's love.
I will walk.
I will walk.
In forgiveness.
In forgiveness.
I will bring.
I will bring.
Unity.
Unity.
I will engage.
I will engage.
My place.
My place.
In our church family.
In our church family.
I commit.
I commit.
To pray.
To pray.
To praise.
To praise.
To worship.
Worship.
God daily.
To God daily.
I will love.
I will love.
My neighbor as myself.
My neighbor as myself.
I will focus.
I will focus.
And keep my focus.
And keep my focus.
On Christ.
On Christ.
And not on issues.
And not on divisive issues.
I will not give in.
I will not give in.
To fear.
To fear.
To negativity.
To negativity.
To gossip.
To gossip.
To slander.
To slander.
To anger.
To anger.
To lies.
To lies.
But I will put.
But I will put.
My hope.
My hope.
And trust in the Lord.
And trust in the Lord.
Because Jesus is.
Jesus is.
Lord.
Lord.
King.
King.
My deliverer.
My deliverer.
Jesus is.
Jesus is.
Our Savior.
Our Savior.
My hope.
My hope.
My healer.
My healer.
The answer.
The answer.
To the world.
To the world.
Come on. I believe that you're my healer. Sing it out. Say it. I believe. Say it. You are all I need. Come on. Just give the Lord praise. I believe you are,
you're my portion.
I believe,
there's more than enough for me.
Jesus, you are,
'cause Jesus, you're all I need.
Come on, everybody, lift your praise. Now let's declare,
nothing is,
nothing is impossible.
Come on, declare it today.
No matter.
Nothing is impossible.
No matter what the news says, nothing
is impossible.
Because he is the King.
You hold my world in your hands.
Nothing is,
nothing.
Father, we declare that's our posture today. It's a great church family, a congregation filled with faith and power and trust and belief, God, all the things that come from who you are flowing into our lives. So both here in the building and our church family watching online this morning, we lean in and connect with the healing power of who you are, God. You are all that we need, all that we are, and all that you've called us to accomplish. It all comes from you, and you don't tease your people.
That's right.
So we thank you in advance for it. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation and call the purpose you've established us for into expression this morning. We declare in Jesus' name that you have found a people who will follow you forward and facilitate what seems naturally impossible, but it is absolutely possible because of who you are. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Along the way, God, we declare healing is flowing into this congregation this morning. That lives, physical bodies, God, spiritual conditions, God, relational schisms, God, financial lack and loss and uncertainty, all the things that our eyes measure and see, God, that you are the answer to, and you're making provision for supernaturally right now in Jesus' name. We thank you in advance for it. And everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody, let's give God praise. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.